Welcome back to another episode of the MicroConf podcast. I'm your host, Rob Walling, and this is a MicroConf tactics episode about how to find your first 10 SaaS customers. I give you 6 proven strategies to do that. This podcast episode is audio pulled from one of our amazing YouTube videos. If you're not subscribed to that channel, you should head to microconf.com/YouTube. And of course, if you want to see the full visuals, as well as me standing in front of some posters, likely of comic books or Dungeons and Dragons related things, head to the link in the show notes for this episode. And with that, let's dive right in. Starting a SaaS business can absolutely change your life, but it all starts with your first customers. And there's so many people out there who want to be founders, but they never get to hear that magical cha-ching announcing their first Stripe payment. So in this video, I'm going to cover the keys to getting your first 10 customers for your startup. And if you stick around till the end, I'm going to tell you an early stage secret used by so many successful entrepreneurs, including me, that almost no one talks about. You might watch videos on YouTube that talk about building an audience, going on social media, and trying to find your first customers there. If you've watched many of my videos or listened to my podcast, you know that I hate relying on luck. I like processes for starting companies that are repeatable, that are predictable, and that don't rely on getting lucky. When you get lucky starting a startup, you don't get better over time because you don't learn. It's like buying a lottery ticket and winning. Does that make you better at anything? It doesn't. And so the approach I talk about in this video is something that is repeatable, that is predictable, and that is an approach that allows you to learn over time. The thing that I'm going to talk about is to start marketing before you start coding. And marketing is different than building in public. The way I differentiate between these two is that marketing is talking to potential customers rather than other indie hackers, SaaS entrepreneurs that are on social media. Of the 191 investments I've made in B2B SaaS companies, less than 5% of them had any kind of audience. And this includes social media, podcast audience, YouTube audience. If you're going to build a SaaS startup, build your network, not your audience. Learn how to market. Don't build an audience. I don't know how to say this any better, but learning marketing as a skill is so much more important than audience building. So what is marketing? Well, it's creating content that people want to consume. It's search engine optimization. It can be pay-per-click ads. It can be integrations and partnerships, cold outreach, in-person events, appearing on podcasts. There's all types of ways to do it. I actually list all 20 of the B2B SaaS marketing approaches that I know exist in my book, The SaaS Playbook. So if you're going after your first 10 customers, there's a couple fundamental things that I would put in place. The first is to set up a basic landing page and start building an early access list. And this is whether I am going to have a high touch funnel where I'm going to do demos and do sales, or a low touch funnel. In this process, I'm going to pick an ideal customer profile or an ICP. Maybe I'll pick 2. But if you think that your product can be used by anyone on the internet and your ICP is everyone in the world, good luck. You're in for a real tough time. As bootstrapped entrepreneurs, it is so much more important to pick an ICP. And we've often talked about going vertical, right? Going into niches and picking out owners of construction firms or people who run gyms and martial arts dojos. But it doesn't have to be that. It can be a title at a specific company, right? It can be an HR director. It can be a director of software development, or it can be an engineer at a company. But an ICP, who is most likely to need, want, and buy this? So you have your landing page, you have an H1, you have an ideal customer profile. This is where you want to get into conversations with folks who might need or want your product. And there's several different approaches. I'm going to talk through 3 or 4 here of how to get in touch with those people. So the first is talk to other founders who have sold into the same space, who have sold to the same ideal customer profiles, people who've both succeeded and failed, and get their perspectives. You can talk to sales and marketing specialists from slightly larger companies, not huge companies, but let's say you're just starting out and you know there's a SaaS company doing 50 grand a month in the same space or selling to the same customer type. Look someone up on LinkedIn, reach out to them, say, hey, trying to do this, need some advice, see who you can talk to learn more about the space. The second approach is to utilize your existing network. This is where I say build your network, not your audience. So if you know people in the industry, reach out to them for insights and ask them to connect you with folks who might want to use the product. And if you don't know people in the industry, you've made a mistake. You should be building your network in the space that you are going to be selling into. The third approach is to find an online audience to get in front of. Note, I didn't say build your own audience because that will take years, but finding an audience that you can get in front of is super important, whether that means going on podcasts, having someone again in your network who is willing to tweet it out or to otherwise share you and your idea and your thoughts with the audience. You're trying to get into conversations. One of the bigger mistakes that I see aspiring and early stage entrepreneurs making is thinking that X Twitter is a marketing strategy, that building a social media following is going to help you be a successful SaaS founder. It's just not. There's a handful of people in the world who have made that work. And there are tens of thousands who are trying it or who have tried it. It's a lottery mentality. And it's kind of like saying, I want to play in the NBA or I want to be Taylor Swift. Good luck. Not saying no one will do it. There's obviously a few hundred people in the NBA and there is one Taylor Swift. And there are a handful of people who are making a living selling software to other indie hackers. But realistically, learning the blocking and tackling of marketing and learning how to do that in a repeatable way will allow you to not only be successful with this product, but with all the products that you start after this. Are you drowning in challenging tech decisions? You should check out today's sponsor, TechStack. Unlike typical staffing agencies, these folks are startup specialists with over a decade of experience in startup software development. With their more than 10 years of experience guiding US and European startups to success, TechStack can help you quickly build a proof of concept, launch an MVP without hiring a full team, or fill crucial skill gaps with experts who truly become part of your team. One of TechStack's clients collaborated with them to create an MVP 6 years ago and has grown to unicorn status through continued collaboration. From launching your MVP designed for explosive growth to rapidly expanding your team for new features or optimizing your existing code base for peak performance, TechStack has the know-how to supercharge your tech journey. TechStack has an exclusive offer for MicroConf listeners. Get a 10% discount on your first month of development with TechStack. And the first 10 listeners to reach out will receive a free in-depth tech assessment and expert consultation, a $3,000 value in your choice of critical areas like development, architecture, infrastructure, or project management. Don't let tech challenges slow you down. Check out tech-stack.com/startups to discover how TechStack can kickstart your growth. That's tech-stack.com/startups. The next approach is to lurk in online communities. So join relevant Facebook groups, subreddits, Slack channels, and other forums, and observe the discussions to identify common problems and complaints people have with other solutions in your space. And this is a big note. At this point, another mistake that I see a lot of founders make is they get a landing page up and they have in their head exactly what they want to build. They're makers, so they're going to make. Realistically, you're going to be getting a bunch of feedback as you have these conversations, whether these conversations are on Reddit, whether they are on Zoom, whether they are via email. You're going to be getting feedback, some of which is going to reinforce the vision you have, and other feedback that's going to say you're heading in the wrong direction. Can you add this? Can you pivot to this? Can you support my use case? And this is a skill you have to develop if you want to be a successful entrepreneur long-term, is to learn to take feedback in from potential customers and not potential customers, learn who to listen to, learn how to adapt your vision of your product and to change it and roll with the market pull. Because if you don't do that, the odds of you being successful from the start with the initial idea you had are very, very, very low. The fifth approach I want to call out is outreach, warm and cold outreach. So this is email, LinkedIn, Twitter, DMs. This is something that I don't see a lot of aspiring founders do. They think it's, again, all about driving traffic inbound, and that can work. That's actually the approach I've tended to take because I am more of a developer turned marketer. But if you listen to the story of Tally, you may have heard of Tally.so, and Maria, one of the co-founders, came on my podcast, episode 717. She did cold outreach to thousands of people to get off the ground. And that's the headline that a lot of aspiring founders don't want to talk about. They want to cargo cult and say, oh, what made them successful is they have a free plan, so I'm gonna have a free plan. No, that's not what made them successful. What made them successful is they have a free plan in a very large space with a very low cost to serve their customers, and they hustled and they put in a ton of hard work and did stuff like cold outreach that probably made them uncomfortable. And it'll make you uncomfortable too, but that's okay. This is one of the five tactics I'm listing here to try to find those initial 10 customers that can give you feedback and help you develop the product. So what's the goal of all this? Is it to make sales? Is it to build a launch list? Is it to learn? to figure out how to pivot the product, what to build exactly, how to refine it. Well, it's all of the above. And again, the big oversight that I see with first-time founders is not knowing which feedback to listen to and how to adjust your marketing copy, your vision of the product to align with what the market is asking you for. So you have to figure out, do I want to find a unique position and compete in an existing market? If you're choosing a unique position, you have to start validating that with customers early on to find out, does this unique position matter to anyone? In addition to everything I've talked about, which is building a landing page and trying to get into conversations, is as folks come in and sign up for your email list, you not only have this asset of a launch list, an interest list in what you're building, but you also have an asset that you can now survey. You can send surveys asking, what do you want the product to have? Hey, here's a screenshot of what I'm building or the value prop I'm thinking about pivoting into. What do you think? You can also just have a survey when people arrive at the landing page. Maybe you just want anonymous feedback. After they give you the feedback, you can ask for the email address. It's a pretty advanced approach to start thinking about integrating short surveys into the flow, but it's something that I see successful entrepreneurs doing. You might be wondering, what if I can't find people online? Well, how did you decide to build the app in the first place? If you can't find people online, maybe you need to figure out how to do offline marketing, which is going to be a grind, right? It's going to be a lot of cold calling and in-person events, or you might need to start over and find a space that has people looking for it online. The bottom line is you do need to talk with people. Even if you think you are going to use a low touch funnel, you need to know what you're building and where the market's going to pull you to. There's only so much I can cover in a YouTube video like this, but I've put together an extensive video course, 27 modules, almost 10 hours of video content, all of the learnings from the thousands of startups that I've observed and worked with over the last 20 years. Head to saslaunchpad.co to learn more about it and get on my early access list. So there's a sixth tactic to getting into these early conversations and finding early adopters who are really interested in becoming one of your first 10 customers. And that is running ads. Facebook ads, LinkedIn ads, Google AdWords. You're not actually trying to have a positive return on investment with these. You're trying to get people into the funnel and trying to find interested folks who might be a good fit for your product. This doesn't work for everyone. You do need to have some budget. You do need to learn how to run ads. There's plenty of free resources or inexpensive video courses online to learn how to do this, but this is where you're scratching and clawing to try to find those first 10 highly interested people who might want to be your first 10 customers.